Do you know that saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade? I almost hate that saying. And let me tell you why. I've had a lot of lemons now. I was talking to my friend the other day and he said, man, I hope you catch a break. And yeah, that's how I feel some days. But really, it's because you just shouldn't settle for just lemonade. You should make lemonade. You should also make lemon meringue pie. Maybe a nice lemon and dill salmon. Chicken piccata, anyone? A lemon souffle? But we say lemonade because it's simple to make lemonade with lemons. All you really need is water, and to sweeten the tartness of the lemons, some sugar or some simple syrup. Do you remember the last time you went to the fair? Maybe the National Tractor Pull Championships, inside joke. Some other event with those concessions where you can get one of those hand-shaken lemonades. They're so perfectly sweet, so refreshing. Just like my perspective on life. LOL. Welcome to episode 7 of season 2024 of the No Bad Karma podcast. Today is part 4 of the Instacarting for Earth Revival series. In part 1, I talked about the survival versus survival mentality. In part 2, I talked about what led me to Instacarting. In part 3, I talked about how to always be 5 stars, no matter what you're doing and why you should be. And now today, part 4, when life gives you lemons, be making lemon souffle. So there's 3 things I wanted to talk about today. First of all, that saying, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Second, how I've tried to take my lemons of Instacarting, survival, and trying to make lemonade, thrivival. And then something a little more fun, I'd like to talk about how you take something you don't want to do to survive, or maybe you choose to do to survive, and then turn it into something that might give you an opportunity to thrive. And that made me think of Dishwasher Pete. But first, let's talk about taking lemons and making lemonade and that saying and where it's from. So I did some Googling, and it turns out that most people attribute it to Dale Carnegie, who's best known for the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, and the public speaking and sales courses that bear his name. And just for you yinzers out there, it was originally spelled G-E-Y, and he changed it to G-I-E. So he could be cool like Andrew Carnegie, but he still says it Carnegie. But let me tell you about old Dale. Most people know of him because, like I said, they took one of those sales or public speaking courses or heard of it. But here's how we ended up being known for that and where he used that saying. So this dude is no longer with us. He was born in 1888 in Missouri. In high school, in the early 1900s, there was this movement in America called Chautauqua. Basically, it was a bunch of vendors, entertainment acts, preachers, other speakers getting together for kind of what we would think of now as a revival. And Dale was really taken with that, and he wanted to be a speaker at these things. He graduated high school in 1906 and went to the State Teachers College there. And he graduated from there in 1908. But like all his poor saps, he had to make a living. So he sold correspondence courses to ranchers. Think University of Phoenix. Now you can get pretty much any degree online. But back then, it might have been how you went to high school. By mail. Then he took a job with Armour & Company, who we now know as Armour Meats. And they were out of Chicago. And I want to point out how many times we're going to run into Chicago in this story. But Dale took this job with Armour, and he sold bacon, soap, and lard. Because back then they made soap from lard. His sales territory in Nebraska, I think it was in Omaha, became the best territory in the country for Armour. So Dale definitely knew something about sales. And then after 3 years of doing the sales thing, he quit. So in 1911, he thought he'd try to become a lecturer. And so where does he go? Where does everybody go? New York. Because if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And evidently, like most people that go to New York today to be actors, well, Dale ended up in a play. And then, like a lot of starving actors, found himself living in a YMCA in New York. I almost rented a room in a Y once. Almost. So while he's at the Y, he convinces the manager to let him teach a public speaking course, right? And in this very first course, the very first one, he runs out of material. So I found this little fact super interesting because you know what he improvised with? He told the class to talk about something they were angry about. And you know what happened? People opened up. They started overcoming their fear of public speaking. So Dale knew something about sales and he knew something about getting people how to talk and he wrote some books. And in his sixth and final book, he wrote a bunch of pamphlets too, but in this last actual book that he wrote, it was called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And it was published in 1948. And chapter 17 is titled, If You Have a Lemon, Make a Lemonade. And that chapter has some rules in it. And rule 6 says, when fate hands us a lemon, let's try to make a lemonade. So everybody attributes this saying to him. But if you read the very first paragraph of that chapter, you'll find Dale was actually telling the story of where he got that advice. You see, while he was writing that book, he dropped in on the chancellor of the University of Chicago. There's Chicago again. And that dude's name was Robert Maynard Hutchins. And Dale Carnegie asked Hutchins how he kept from worrying. And Hutchins said, I've always tried to follow a bit of advice given to me by the late Julius Rosenwald, president of Sears Roebuck and Company. When you have a lemon, make a lemonade. So Carnegie, he got it from Hutchins. Hutchins, he got it from Rosenwald. So a little aside here, Rosenwald was the president of Sears, and he donated millions to promote vocational and technical education. In fact, he was appointed to the Chicago Commission on Race Relations in 1919, the first commission to ever look at race relations. And he was the principal founder and backer for the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, which has been one of my favorite museums since I was like in the seventh grade, I think it was. This Rosenwald dude knew something too, right? So where did he get it? Well, I'm not sure because like I said, Sears, he was the president of Sears, and they were originally founded in 1892 by Sears and Roebuck. And then in 1906, they reincorporated in Chicago by Sears and Rosenwald and became a mail order catalog company. And back then, there was this semi-monthly men's clothing periodical called Menswear. And in 1910, volume 26, page 58, there's an article about neckwear and the scarcity of silk and how it's going to affect the Easter orders. And there's a little sidebar on this page with some sayings, like you see in Reader's Digest. And I really love the first one. It said, don't mind the number of irons you have in the fire. Mind the fire. Then the second one said, in business, turn obstacles into conveniences. When handed a lemon, make lemonade of it. So Carnegie from Hutchins from Rosenwald, and maybe that menswear magazine, because Rosenwald was in the clothing business. Maybe they heard Rosenwald say it. Maybe Rosenwald read it there. I don't know. But that reference in that magazine was clearly about business. But today we apply it to life. Right? Even when Carnegie asked Hutchins, who got it from Rosenwald, he said he used it as a way to stop worrying. So the interwebs research tell me that in 1915, there was this American writer, Albert Hubbard, which may have had something to do with applying it to life. But his reference to applying it to life came out of death. Specifically, he wrote an obituary of this guy named Marshall Pinckney Wilder. He was a vaudeville performer. He was one of the favorite performers of the British royal family. And you know what else he was? a dwarf. He was born with what we call dwarfism. And in the obituary that Hubbard wrote, he said he picked up the lemons that fate had sent him and started a lemonade stand. It's really kind of beautiful, the way he worded that. But let's go back to that 1910 reference in the magazine, because you know what else happened in 1910? The movie studios in Hollywood started popping up. Nestor Studios was the first one, and it opened in 1911, and Nestor's still around today. Today we call it Universal Studios. But do you know where these studios were built? In lemon groves. In 1886, there was this guy named Harvey Wilcox, and he purchased 160 acres of what we now know as Hollywood. But the next guy that came along 7 years later, 7, 8 years later, 1894, he bought 500 acres. And they consider that guy to be the father of Hollywood. His name was H.J. Whitley. He was the president of a bank and considered to be the first developer of Hollywood, though it was really Wilcox. But this dude was a mega developer, and he had something like 140 towns existing because of his work developing. But rumor has it he bought those 500 acres in what we now know as Hollywood. He built the Hollywood Hotel. And rumor has it that his business partners toasted him and said he made lemonade out of lemons because he had bought lemon groves. And they say if you go back to the original pictures of the Hollywood Hotel, you can see the lemon groves. Hollywood was lemons. But now let me really blow your mind about lemons, because we made them. It's not a naturally occurring fruit. It's thought to have come from the 1400s and have been a cross between an orange and a citron. So we didn't even make the fucking things. Or maybe it'd be better to say, we made our lemons. We make our own mess. We do that in life sometimes, right? So it doesn't matter where the lemons came from, though. What do you want to make out of it? So that brings us to the second point, how I've tried to take my lemons of Instacarting, survival, and how I'm trying to make lemonade, survival. And I told you once in a previous episode about how this started with the conversation with my partner about Instacarting. But one of the weekends as I was working on this strip, on this script, we were talking about it again. And she was talking about how when she was struggling to pay the bills, she took every penny she made and invested it back into herself after taking care of the essentials. You know, the short version of her story is simple. She quit her job amicably, was looking for a new gig. She was pursuing other things like life coaching, had classes she wanted to take for certifications. So she Instacarted and she dog sat. She paid the bills, but then after the bills were paid, she invested it in what she was trying to accomplish professionally. She was Instacarting for revival as much as survival. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. She was setting herself up for thriving in the future. And today she's on the verge of that, right? She has a steady gig, ramping up her coaching business and accomplishing things in life she's been pursuing for years. In fact, I think she forgets how far she's come sometimes. And much like her, I started out Instacarting for survival. I said in a previous episode, it started with Christmas gifts, and then had to go into my gas tank to get to Toledo. And then food. How do you think I bought our Valentine's Day dinner? But during all that time, I pushed every other dollar I had to the things I had going on for business. And when I get done recording this, that's what I'm doing tonight too. My servers, my Adobe subscriptions, my Microsoft subscriptions, my domains. Because those are things I need to thrive, not just gas and food. So how else did I use it? Well, I said in a previous episode, I'm someone who wants to start a nonprofit, a go-to resource for food pantries, free stores, and other services that address basic human needs. So every time I was out and saw an organization doing that, you know, I yelled, "Hey Siri, make a note, put the church's name down or the pantry's name down," or I snapped a picture if I could. And truth is, like all people, we question our own ideas. I question my own, and I'll talk about that in the next episode, Heart, Head, and Gut, about when you know and when you don't have to anymore. But if anything, I found myself convinced that what I have in mind is needed. So a lot more came out of it than just survival. And don't get me wrong, though. Like any job, and I'll talk about that in a minute, it's taken a toll. Don't think I haven't had bad days, no matter how hard you try to make lemonade out of lemons. How do you think I felt when I was out Instacarting all day, made $125, and used to be billing that an hour, and should be again? There was like 3 days in a row where I went out before my girl was up, came home and ate, watched a little LVP, and went to bed. Do you ever know those couples that never work the same shift, are rarely home together? That's tough on a relationship. Doesn't matter what you're doing. So the truth is, it doesn't matter if you're Instacarting, it doesn't matter if you flip burgers, it doesn't work in a grocery, it doesn't matter if you're president, or even a dishwasher like Dishwasher Pete. It doesn't matter who you are. You should work to thrive, not just survive. And you should never do it at the expense of your relationship. But that need to survive can and should be an opportunity to thrive. And you can take anything someone has to do to make money and turn it into something more. And that's called the choice. And that brings us to the third point. Using something that's just a means of survival and turning it into a survival opportunity. And that's when I thought of Dishwasher Pete. So in life, first of all, let me say this. Don't we as individuals, as couples, have our bucket lists, or as I like to call them, and I've called them before, our life lists? I know my partner and I have talked about how we want to see not just every state in the country, but the countries where our families are from. Some of the sites in the world we find fascinating, some of the countries where there are temples and pyramids. Might start with states, but we're interested in countries and continents. But for that first part of the adventure, right, I could get a vehicle big enough to pull a camper, big enough to provide a decent environment to travel the country. In fact, when I talked about what I went through in April 2021 and finally becoming a person again, when I was trying to figure out if I could get a car or not, if I could save my house or not, I mean, I considered packing my dog up in my 98 Chevy Astro van and parking at a campground if I had to. And just go from there. Flash forward to January 1st of this year, and I talked about how I had an Instacart from Pittsburgh to Toledo. I got up bright and early, hit the road, went out and Instacarted till I could get enough money in the tank and put money on the toll account. And then I pretty much had to say goodbye to my partner and hit the road for Toledo. But as I was driving back, I thought, man, should I get another one on the way home just to be sure I have enough cash to make it? Maybe I'll jump off the expressway when I hit Youngstown, or better yet, the east side of Cleveland. Maybe I'll Instacart in Mentor and Painesville. I know those areas. Inside joke. And that got me thinking about my dream of seeing every state in the country, right? As I was driving home, though, I was thinking about that and thought, really, you could Instacart anywhere. And I thought about Dishwasher Pete. So a lot of people today probably don't know the story of Dishwasher Pete, but it's really not that old. And I'd argue that anyone that calls himself a podcast aficionado should know Dishwasher Pete, because Dishwasher Pete's real name is Pete Jordan. He spent more than 10 years, it was in the 2000s, I know it covered that decade, going across the country washing dishes. He washed dishes in restaurants, cafeterias, hospitals, schools, oil rigs, just anything, anywhere he could wash dishes, because where there are people, there are dishes. And he wrote about his adventure in a zine. You know, back then, a zine was a small batch magazine publication. Today we video log or podcast, right? But one of the most popular podcasts is Serial, and that came from the creators of This American Life, a public radio show out of WBEZ, When, Where, Chicago, hosted by Ira Glass. And This American Life had dishwasher Pete stories on about 5 of its episodes. Pete was on Letterman. In fact, the first time he was on Letterman, he had somebody go on pretending to be him. Pete also volunteered to be a human guinea pig, one of the people that allow for human testing. You know, like when they start testing a drug on people the first time, they're human guinea pigs. Yeah, he volunteered for that, and he had a zine about that, too. It also made me think of Studs Terkel. He's a great American author who wrote, a lot of people know him for Gig. It was a book where he talked to people on all types of works of life about their jobs and wrote about it, right? You know, because in these conversations I've had about Instacarting with my partner, well, we've talked about how some people have to make their living this way, right? So it's really about what makes a job something more than a job. And it's when you choose to make it something more. So, you know, having a little fun for a minute with the Instacarting idea, you know, really, if you were really intentional about it, you could pick your cities, you could plan your stops, you could maybe pitch a tent until you can save up enough till you can afford a room once in a while, but damn, you could Instacart your way across America. I mean, you'd have to be smart about it. You'd have to have a newer vehicle, something that's, you know, fuel efficient. You'd want it to be in good shape, have all the maintenance caught up, right? Have good tires. And like I said, you could, you know, pitch a tent. If you have a van, I guess you could sleep in that, right? One of those old pickups with the camper. But you're going to need some high dollar days pretty regularly, right? But you can pull in a couple $100 a day easy. 300, I can see it. Right? Especially if you're taking these batches with long drives. So yeah, you're going to have to feed some of it right back in your tank, but you could probably see some stuff on your way, right? I mean, you'd have to pack light because you got to be able to deliver groceries while things are in your car. And like I said, you have to take these bigger dollar batches, which are usually the long drive. So you want to plan out your stops a few days ahead, have a sense of direction, know where you're going, right? Build up some money ahead of time so you can have a really good time with this when you get places, right? You get up in the morning, have some breakfast, take some orders, and have your day. I mean, how cool would it be for a couple of guys or girls or a couple that want to see the world? I mean, when you talk technique, a good team could really kill it on the shop times, right? Delivery is always just going to be that delivery. So, but man, if you've looked at a couple of the videos I've recorded or heard a couple of things I've said, I mean, I've seen just some beautiful things here in Pittsburgh. One of my favorite moments was pulling up to a house where the delivery had to go to the side door, and this deer just stood there and looked at me and snorted. And I mean, you know, you got to think of your environment. Like I've said before, I know from my experience in Pittsburgh, I'm not going to go out and deliver when the snow's coming down and it's below freezing. I'm just not going to do it. I don't do it at night because I've been on too many deliveries where if I took my eyes off the road for just a minute, hit a patch of ice, patch of ice, I'd be over a side of a hill or a mountain, right? I've gone over some one-lane bridges now. You know, I hate to admit it, but when you're out delivering all day, you start driving a little more assertively, get a little heavy on the gas now and again. You know that your time is money and you want to get to the next place, but carelessness will cost you and groceries aren't worth that. So, you know, you got to think about where you're going, but wouldn't it be cool to be driving through the Grand Canyon or out in the desert on your way to a delivery? So you'd obviously need to do a good job while you're doing all this. Got to keep your ratings up so you get the good batches. you know, if you've never shot before, you'd want to start before you head out, right? Don't just do this and go. Definitely want to be a diamond card shopper because you're going to see the best batches, right? But if somebody wants to do it, let me know. I mean, I think we could have fun with that, keeping up with you during the trip. I did a little research, and the easternmost point in the U.S. is Quoddy Head, Maine, the westernmost points near Olympia, Washington. If you were going to start at one and drive to the other straight, it's going to take you 48 hours. So we're talking a trip here, right? Especially if you're working on the way. But, you know, zigzag across the country, wherever you want. You hit the destinations you want, hang out for a while, and move on. That's so cool. You know, like I said, I think it'd be cool, but it could also have its tough moments. So you got to watch out for the unexpected challenges. Car trouble, just being under the weather, and you need to take a day off could set you back. You know, I thought about going out and Instacarting today, and I didn't feel great, so I didn't. You don't want to get tickets or get into an accident, like I said, but I mean, these are the risks we encounter every day in life, right? It's about pursuing your joy and pursuing your passion. That's what that proposition's about. That's what doing any job and trying to make more of it is about. Or anything in life. It's when life gives you lemons, you do have to make lemonade. But that's just survival. But you can make something better. You can make a lemon souffle. You can make a lemon pudding. You can make your lemon meringue pie. Just don't stop with lemonade. Whatever you make, your lemon souffle, is whatever's going to bring you joy. What is it that you want? What do you want to do for work? Maybe a better question is, how do you want to provide for yourself and others? Who do you want to spend your free time with? How do you want to live? How do you want to love? Hopefully intentionally. Make a lemon souffle. It's how you give your choices a purpose bigger than yourself. See you soon.